Blog Talk Radio.
Calling to speak with the man in the street. Calling to speak, I'm the man in the street. Walking revolution, that's who I be. Al Porter, man in the street. Man is music activism, news, showcase artists and activist views. Rolling on Monday night, 8+ years. Blog Talk Radio, calming people's fears. 646-478-0944. Monday night, 9 to 10, Cleveland time zone. Cleveland Standard Time, Ivy Front Line. Emacs in his prime, Kilroy can rhyme. Read between the lines, black by design. Tell the truth time, here to drop a dime. Keep me a whistle, I'm the whistleblower. From Ukraine to my lane, White House know it. See something, say something. The motto, part two of the phrase, streets always know. For people found dead, inside a house. 6-year-old asleep, stray bullet took her out. Killers on the block, this is real deep. Be a whistleblower, get them off the street. Calling and speak with the man in the street. Calling and speak, I'm the man in the street. Calling and speak with the man in the street. Calling and speak, I'm the man in the street. Calling and speak with the man in the street. Calling and speak, I'm the man in the street. Calling and speak with the man in the street. Calling and speak, I'm the man in the street.
Welcome once again to an excellent episode of Al Porter, Man in the Street, Chapter 11, Verse 3, already happy, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. birthday. His actual birthday was on January the 15th. We'll get to that in a little while. And welcome once again, that abbreviation and acronym for M period, A period, N period is Music Activism News. For those listening live to Blog Talk Radio 3342 Music, we appreciate you for listening to blogtalkradio.com. You can feel free to call in to 646-478-0944. If you're sending in any commercials, any music, send it MP3 format to emaxxradio@gmail.com. emaxxradio@gmail.com. Three quick disclaimers for you. Disclaimer number one, you get info on this show. Have pen, pencil, paper, laptop, desktop, smartphone for any and all info that you hear. Disclaimer number two, if you hear something you don't like, don't blame Blog Talk or 3342 Music. Call and blame Boogie Me direct at 646-478-0944. I'll listen for as long as I can. Disclaimer number three, you may not want to talk, but I'm coming to your phone line and see what's on your mind. Can't talk, stay silent and go back on hold. Change your mind, call back or press 1. I need to let people know that Common Sense Radio airs Sundays at 5 p.m. Cleveland Standard Time on WERE 1490 AM. That is Art McCoy's University of Common Sense. www.newstalkcleveland.com, Radio 1. I also want to let people know about the Twitter page of Alfred Porter, JR numeral 1, that's Alfred Porter Jr. 1, Hip Hop Workshop numeral 2, that's Hip Hop Workshop 2, Man in the Street 13, that's Man in the Street 1-3. Instagram is JR Alfred Porter. I want to let people know that you can check out the Black on Black Crime Incorporated Hip Hop Workshop Radio Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Cleveland Standard Time on voiceitradio.com. And for an hour tomorrow, we find out just who is Judge Cornelius J. O'Sullivan. And if you think you know the music I have lined up for tomorrow's program, you all will probably be extremely surprised. When it comes to labor, www.templabor.org for those looking to work. Also, thelogtv.com. And I need to let people know about We Are Cleveland, which is the YouTube channel of Power Groove Records. We Are Cleveland. Now, this is what we'll do before we go to the phone line. I want to let people know, before I take the calls, the top 10 music and entertainment that caused quite a buzz in our community from a Monday to a Monday. Top 10. Starting at number 10 was Summer. Number 9, debuting, Miss Goods. Number 8, debuting, Skinny LB. Number 7, King Eric Magnus, the co-op, doing a lot of major moves, three groups in one. Number 6, moving up, over 1,000 views, Riso and On Go. Letter to Lily and Rich. Number 5, moving up, but they have a business meeting this week, BWE LLC. They have their business meeting coming up at 5 p.m. A lot of community stakeholders will be joining them, which is a powerful thing. Also, I want to say that going from number 5 to number 4, The Actual Tan is moving up. You Are Not Black King, regular and chopped and screwed version. Number 3, moving up, YouTube, Joseph Motley Jr. The YouTube page, That's Too Much Information, just released. Past Years Ago, the Black House Sounds John Madden tribute. Hate When My Drops, as well as a new release that was just put out between my brother Joseph Motley Jr. and Mr. Powers. Number 2, moving up, Facebook, The Stars Align, a visual arts display, which happened last Saturday. And number 1, moving up, all Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. events, including today's New Era Cleveland. They were at the Shaker Movie Theater, free film with food and a lot of other inclements in this inclement weather. And that was at the Shaker Movie Theater. Just an excellent program that people could attend in person. And also, it also includes it's also on Facebook, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Celebration of Life. Anytime you have a program that I was very blessed to attend, for those people who are looking at some of the live feeds that my people put out, anytime you have Pastor Gamble, I'm just reading the back page, Lisa Stickin, RPCC, chairperson to the acknowledgement. Introduction, mistress of ceremony, was five-star field general of Action Black-on-Black Crime Incorporated's Donald Walker Brown. Al Porter Jr., man in the street. Angela Woodson, given MLK legacy. Performance by the one and only Obie Shelton, violinist. Words of encouragement came from prophetess Brenda Jacobs. Performance by Kevin Conwell and the Footprints Band. You definitely have to check out some of those live feed videos. It was excellent. Garden Valley Food Pantry did the words of expression. Keynote speaker, Bernie Marino. He did an excellent, excellent job speaking about his life and his history, as well as the facts that I can now go to my phone line and see what is going on out there. And I see a 216-407. 216-407. Who are we talking to on a nice winter day?
Mr. Porter, this is Judge Cornelius O'Sullivan calling in. How are you tonight?
I'm doing excellent. I am. As a matter of fact, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. You know, I had an excellent time Saturday at Pastor Gamble's church with Donald Walker Brown and Lisa Stickin and you and Bernie Marino. It was a great event. The music was phenomenal. Obie Shelton just killed it on the violin, and we all had a very great birthday celebration.
I appreciate you calling in. My thing is, in talking to you already, I'm going to at least ask you the key question. And the key question is, a lot of people will say, oh, great, it's election time. Somebody's running to hold on to a seat or to take a seat. You already have a seat as a judge, but I need to ask you, Your Honor, Cornelius O. Sullivan, Court of Appeals, as judge, before you took your seat, because some smart person is going to say, I don't know that name. They just came around. Talk to me a little bit about some of the things that you have done before you even took your seat.
Glad to, Mr. Porter. I have, the boring story is I went to St. Ed's and I played football. I went to John Carroll and I played hockey. I went to law school and I was on the law review. Then I went and worked at the Court of Appeals. And I was there when the Honorable Patricia Blackman took her seat as the first African-American woman on that court. And I was there when Sarah Harper came and sat next to her. And I got to meet those phenomenal women. And they, I want to say they turned the court around, but they also just came in it with grace and power. And it was a phenomenal thing to watch. And I've been happy to be talking to them over the last 25 years about it. Judge Blackman spoke to me before my investiture in December and had some very encouraging words. Just a phenomenal leader and a phenomenal woman in the community. I was also there with my boss was a gentleman, John F. Corrigan. He had been a judge for 30-some years. So I got a lot of experience then. Then I went out and I went to try lawsuits. And I worked in the courts of appeals in 5 different districts in Ohio. I tried cases in 60 counties in Ohio. And essentially my wife and I raised our 4 sons and put food on the table. And here it is, 30 years later, I've come back to the Court of Appeals. And I've got a seat there, and I'd sure like to keep it.
All right. Well, I'm going to at least ask you, what are some of the things that you are doing now? Because let me be direct, if I can. I was, around at the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Celebration of Life, the extravaganza, and the past Saturday, I saw you hand a pastor a book, an envelope, and I'm looking over the pastor's shoulder because I like to read myself. And so I'm noticing that on the book, it looked like I saw your name, and I'm saying, wait a minute, did he write a book? Can you tell me a little bit more about what it was that you handed? Because that was very interesting.
Well, I'd love to, and thank you for clarifying that. I handed the pastor an envelope, but it had a book in it.
Yes, it did.
As a sitting judge, yes, I'm allowed to hand books to folks. I run 2 community meals on the west side, and one at St. James and one at St. Luke's Church. And I've been involved in it for almost 20 years. I've been running them for almost 15. So I put together a book on what we do. And the title of the book is just Feed the Hungry. That's the first request from Jesus. I think it's first, and if you can do that and you can't do anything else, then I think he's going to be happy with you. Of course, we feed the hungry. We give them drinks. We give them socks. We give them hats. We give them health screenings. So I put together kind of a how-to manual, and I've been passing it around for the last couple of years. I've given it to the Bishop of Cleveland. I gave a copy to Pastor Gamble. I gave one to the other pastor that was there, and gave one to Congresswoman Chantel Brown. It's a how-to manual, how to get started. So if you're out there and you're thinking, this is something I want to do, it tells you where to start. And really just ours started with a group of people that said there's a problem. People need food. What are we going to do? So they got together. They raised their own money. They didn't wait and go to the government. They didn't wait and go to a social service agency. They raised their own money. They bought some food. They opened the doors. They got a church to open its basement. And you know, one of the keys to this is, for us anyway, was we're not asking anybody for anything. So we, you know, the Cleveland Food Bank is phenomenal, a phenomenal resource. We don't take anything from them because it's needed elsewhere. The Catholic Church is a phenomenal resource. We don't take anything from them because it's needed elsewhere. We support ourselves. We'll go out there and raise our own funds, and that way it's there for the people that don't have the ability to raise funds. So we twice a month, we serve 100 people. It's a hot meal. It's a good meal. We looked at it. We started out just, you know, hey, let's serve them food. And you know how cooks are. Let's go heavy on the starch. Let's give a great dessert.
Right.
And we started looking at that, and it's not a bad idea. We thought about the quality calories. We want to give the people all the calories they need for a day. So it's like giving them three meals at once. But we give them a big salad to start out with, small bowl of soup, some meat or some chicken, and then we cut back on the starches. So if you're looking for a big pile of potatoes, you're not going to get them from us. Although we give you a bunch of vegetables. And then the church ladies are phenomenal. We usually give a good dessert. I mean, we just, you know, we can't get people to stop giving us baked goods, and so we're not going to try.
Right.
But we went on the front end and said, let's give them cherry tomatoes. We have a lady who comes in a wheelchair, and she comes down to the church basement, down to there in their wheelchair, and she sits at a table, and she cuts vegetables for an hour, puts it all together for us. You know, anybody can do this. I'm not a rocket scientist by any stretch, but this is what this book is about. It's been one of my callings is to help out where I can. I've been very blessed. My wife and I have had, you know, four incredible sons. We worked with them since they were in grade school. They help out, and it's been real good.
I can tell that that right there is very, very passionate. I'm taken aback right now because I've had the chance to talk to you briefly here and there, and I have not gotten a chance to ask you where your passion comes from to at least serve the community because, yes, as a judge, it would be very easy to typecast a judge. We cannot typecast you. You've got to tell us a little bit about your passion because it really rings through. Anytime that I hear that you actually care about the food that you're serving people, it causes me to pay a lot of attention. It does. So please speak to me.
I'd be glad to, Al. And you can typecast me. I'm boring. I like to read. I like to write. I love music, but I'm not musical. Both of my parents were volunteers. They just raised us that way. My parents would volunteer every Wednesday at the hospital, every Friday and Sunday at the church. My mom was a bit of a counselor for, you know, this was the 1960s. And a lot of women, you know, going to counseling wasn't maybe thought of as a great thing. So they called Mrs. O'Sullivan. I mean, you know, you had those houses with one phone in the house. Mom, it's for you. Mom, it's for you. And some woman crying on the other end. But I saw how my parents treated other people. And I've got a brother that's profoundly handicapped. And I saw how good people treated him. You know, when he was out at Green Road School and he was out at Warrensville Center, I saw how good people treated him. And that motivated me. We've all seen how bad people treat people, and sometimes that motivates people to act. For me, seeing how good people treat each other made me want to do that. And I'm not trying to say that I'm good, but there's a real need. It's a shame that there's a need there. And I'm good with food. You know, people come in and they want a place to sit. We leave the hall open for about 2 hours. If it's cold, we bring them in early. If it's raining, we let them stay a little late. I've got a volunteer, and these are all. I mean, I might have said I too many times in this discussion because Well, I'm the one who organizes it, and I do a lot of the work. I got a great team. I've got two different cooks. I've got a guy who comes in and plays the guitar and sings. So we've got live music, round banquet tables with nice chairs. I think it comes from being raised right.
I hear you. And so as we go through and talk about being raised right, can you talk to me about the importance of reading and writing? Because a lot of people would say I'm extremely boring myself because I love to write and I definitely love to read, but I would definitely like to know a little bit more about when did that all come to pass? Was it through your parents? What caused you to still keep that up to this very day?
Yeah, well, I mean, there were times I hated reading. Like, you know, when I was playing high school football, the choice is to go read something about Shakespeare or go play football. Well, I'm going to go play football. But Mom read to each of us. I'm the seventh of nine kids. And Mom had enough time to read to us at night, to read to us during the day, encouraged it. I am probably, out of the nine, the least interested in reading. My sister's a librarian. It comes from there. And then we, again, I don't know. I didn't know how to raise kids when we started having them, but, you know, you do when you see people do good things, you follow that lead, and we read to our kids. So now I just finished reading a couple different books, and that's how you learn about things. I mean, you can only learn a little bit by watching television, by watching the news. You know, if you talk about history, you only learn a little bit in school. If you want to take a deep dive, you got to go read on your own. You know, school's great,
that's right.
And I know that we have some good curriculums. We got to change some curriculums, but we can't rely on them to be our educator. There's enough time in the day for everybody to go out and pick up a book and something you like.
I appreciate this conversation very much because I did not know what to expect. But before I delve into anything else, again, can you give us your name? Because I'm very amazed at what your occupation is right now, and can you give us your name, please?
I am Judge Cornelius O'Sullivan. I'm a judge in the 8th District Court of Appeals. That's the Court of Appeals that serves Cuyahoga County.
I hear you. And with that being said, what are some of the things that you're proud of that you may have done, you know, with your time being on the bench? What are some of the things you're proud of?
Well, we hear cases. We hear, you know, if you read about something in the news, it's probably involving the courts lately, you know. I mean, that's what the news likes to follow. We get things a year or so later because it's going through the trial process. But
right.
The Court of Appeals gets appeals from municipal courts, common police courts, family courts. And so we see the stuff that's gut-wrenching. We see families torn apart. We see bad people doing bad things. We see good people that are possibly in the wrong place at the wrong time that might need some fairness coming their way. So we just see everything. And, you know, in my private practice, I did this as well. I handled some of the largest cases in Ohio from you remember the Ohio State Fair tragedy where the ride broke apart?
That was one of my
cases. There have been a couple of notorious Cleveland cases. They're just too nasty to even talk to you about, frankly. And I don't want to bring up the facts of those. But now as a judge, we see the dark side of society, but we also see a lot of good things, you know. One of the good things we see is when two good people are arguing over who gets to raise the child, you know. See, plenty of times you see two bad people doing it, but when you see two good people, you know, that's not the worst thing in the world, is it? Or you see, we see good policemen going out and doing good work. and they're out there, and they're serving the community. And we see good judges being patient. You know, we see people coming to court. Some of the work that we get is handwritten, you know. I think 20 years ago, 30 years ago, some courts would say, throw him out of court, throw her out of court. You know, if you
right.
can't bring a lawyer, we don't want you. We
right.
take the time, and the lower courts take the time. To it's really been, and 30 years ago when I was in the court, things were tougher on the people that were in the system.
Got you.
There's a lot more fairness out there now, a lot more justice, a lot more equity. And maybe there's not enough. Maybe we need more. But the system certainly has evolved, and there's a lot of good things going on in the courthouse.
I have noticed, even in the past maybe 20 years in doing the work I do in the community, I have noticed how it seems a lot easier to navigate and to at least get answers when dealing with the court system. One thing that I can say is that you touched on so many different things that the title of the show is Al Porter, Man in the Streets, because it's music, activism, news. We talked about news when it came to dealing with some of the activities that happened the past week, but when it comes to music, yeah, one of the activities we talked about, a lot of it had to do with music. And then you added in something as a judge when you said reading, writing, and that you also love music. So I need you to please tell me what type of music. And just talk to me a little bit about that because, again, certain people, judges, people with gavels, I never hear a conversation come from them about music.
I've got a story out for you, Al, that I haven't told you before. This is not a setup.
Okay.
I was walking down the court hallway about 25 years ago on a Saturday, working on a Saturday, and I hear Marvin Gaye, What's Going On, blasting from some judge's chambers. I wasn't a judge. I'm just a law clerk. And I've got to walk past that judge's chambers to get to the men's room because I want to, you know, go to the restroom. So I walk past, and I hear What's Going On, and it's blasting, and I love that song. On my way back, Judge Sarah Harper, who's all of, I mean, she's probably 5'6", but I think she's like 4'8". She's a wonderful, brilliant, but not very tall woman, comes running out of her chambers, and she's embarrassed. Oh, Corky. Corky's my nickname. Oh, Corky, I'm sorry. Was my music too loud for you? She was embarrassed as the judge. She thought she was disturbing me, the little, dumb little law clerk. And I said, Judge, that's Marvin Gaye. You can play that as loud as you want. I've always been a fan of Motown. I like rock and roll. I like a lot of the Irish bands. I kind of grew up with Motown. I've got 5 older sisters, and they loved it. And, you know, that's kind of where it's at for me. Have you ever been up to the Motown Museum up in Detroit?
No, I haven't. I think the computer...
I'm taking my son to do that?
Yes, sir. Wow. You took them there. And I was getting ready to say that the computer, online, a lot of things have made it a lot easier to navigate because I've been able to sit through and take tours through a lot of different places that if it wasn't for the way everything is now, especially online, I would have been forced to a lot more to go down there myself, but I still need to take that trip. But you're saying you took your family down there. Wow.
It's a great little museum. They've got the studios where the music was made. You know, in the movie The Temptations, where everybody's standing out on that front lawn? You can go stand on that front lawn. The building is there. It's blue, or it's white with the blue lettering, with the funeral home next door. I had a Dodge Challenger at the time. I pulled my Dodge Challenger up, and I took a picture of my son leaning on the Dodge. I thought it was kind of cool. He hated it, but I thought it was kind of cool.
Wow. Yeah, that was definitely cool. As a matter of fact, I know a lot about the other subjects that you call some of the other artists, but when it comes to, I'll say, Irish bands, okay, I might know one or two, but who are some of your favorites?
Well, there's a group called the Saw Doctors. I think there's a song, I'd like you to look it up. It's easy. N, the letter N, the number 17. And the N17 is either the bus route or the highway that this guy was driving on. And it's a song of a guy in his 50s, thinking back about when he was in school. And he used to drive on the N17 with the green grass and the brick walls and the stone walls and just remembering his youth. It's a pretty cool song, I think you'd like. U2 has a great song. I mean, U2 has many great songs. We touched on this. The Irish Bloody Sunday is the last day of January, January 30th, when British soldiers opened fire on a group of 50 peaceful protesters. This was about a year after the assassination of the Reverend Dr. King, and these were peaceful protesters. They were singing We Shall Overcome, and I think 9 of them were murdered by British soldiers, and that's what the Irish call their Bloody Sunday. So the group U2 has a song, Sunday, Bloody Sunday, that you probably heard on the radios in the 90s a bunch of times, but there's a lot of good music out there.
You caught me off guard because, of course, I would have went through for U2, but before anything else, I said, let me ask you, so now I can at least take the time after the program and look up the Saw Doctors, which I will do. My thing is, for those people who weren't there, you caught a lot of people's attention because you were one of those. It was a lot of soul and a lot of feeling in that particular program. It was. The reason I can say that is because
I saw
you rocking out to a degree and enjoying the performances. And for those people who don't know, I've never seen the Kevin Conwell and the Footprints band do gospel. And to see the collaboration that was so beautiful after Obi Shelton played Amazing Grace, and then to see him play it again while a singer sang that, it was a phenomenal event. So with that being said, how have things been as you've, you know, canvassed the community to talk to people and that type of thing? How's everything gone for you?
Well, it's going well. You know, for a judicial campaign, there's only so many things you can say. You know, when I was at the celebration on Saturday, I mean, people, when they meet a politician, they want to know, how can you help me? And I tell people, I can probably help you 3 years after you're, you know, let out of jail, or 3 years after you won your trial, because that's about, you know, when I get involved. And I can't really help you, but what I can do is apply the law fairly and try to do justly in what I do. But that was, you touched on that, the soloist for the band was just phenomenal. The Footprints band, she was phenomenal. And
yes,
she and Obi Shelton did a version of Amazing Grace. You know, I like the Elvis. I've got the Elvis gospel albums. I like the Sweet Inspirations. But this was incredible. It was just, you know, and I appreciate the fact that you didn't think I was ill. If I was moving around a little bit, I am a klutz. I'm an old judge who reads a lot. I really, anyone else would have thought maybe I was having a spasm, but I appreciate that you thought I was enjoying the music.
I hear you. I can only feel for you on that one because even though I like to move, there are some people who would say, Mr. Porter, you do well on radio, you do well on the microphone, you don't need to be dancing, but that's a different story for a different time. I am going to at least ask you personally just your thoughts on the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
Well, I'm glad that you call out the Reverend in his name because so many people don't. He's a man of God, and we know that, but when the kids today think history and they see who they think the leaders are right now and they see people shouting and shouting and shouting. But Dr. King and his immediate group right there, they were nonviolent. They were committed to nonviolence. They were committed to peaceful protests. They got beat up. They got locked up. But they had patience, and they had prayerfulness, and they got the job started. I don't think they got the job finished, but this is a travesty. You know, I grew up in the North. My family all fought for the North. My family fought in the Revolution for freedom. I've got relatives only in the North. I had no idea what the South was like except beautiful beaches. And then when you watch these films, you say, I can't imagine that happening in Cleveland. I know Cleveland's had its problems too, but what he stood for, he's an American hero. He's a great American, and you know, we see his name and picture. We see it in black and white because there weren't a lot of color photography back then, but his name should be in red, white, and blue. I'm so glad we have this holiday, you know, he's a great American, right there with all the other great Americans. He wasn't a great black man. I mean, he was, but he wasn't a great Southern guy. He wasn't a great reverend. He was a great American. He served this country, and he took his lumps for it, just like a lot of great Americans did.
Wow. I appreciate what you just said.
And he was a Republican.
Yes, he was. He definitely was. And there's no getting around those particular facts. And so with that being said, before we end everything off, how can people find out more about you?
Well, I have a Facebook page, Cornelius O'Sullivan. I have a LinkedIn page. I think that's Judge Cornelius O'Sullivan. And, I mean, Cornelius, that's my dad's name. That's his grandfather's name. That's the guy who came over on the boat from Ireland. That's my son's name. My son is Dr. Cornelius O'Sullivan. If you check me out on my Facebook page, there's a little bit more information about me. There's the Court of Appeals, if you go to the Cuyahoga County, the 8th District Court of Appeals website, has my bio on there also. And that gives a little bit more about, you know, cases I've won and lawsuits I've handled and legal experience, if people are interested in learning about that.
I thank you so much for taking the time to call in. I'm looking forward to following up our conversation tomorrow evening. I definitely am, and now you've given me some homework because now I have to figure out how to put a good playlist together for you, Your Honor. So with that being said, I thank you very much for the time that you took on this holiday.
Mr. Porter, thank you for your time. It was great to see you on Saturday, and I look forward to talking to you again tomorrow.
No problem. Be at peace.
Thank you.
And you're more than welcome. And as a matter of fact, somebody who's been listening to this excellent conversation, we plan on keeping this one going with the 216-412 phone number, 216-412. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Mr. Porter. Well, I mean, I'm keeping maintained here. It's a lot that needs to be done and addressed. Like I told you, like, I'm doing great, though. It's not like things is going great right now. Things are going great. Certain things are going great, though. But when it comes to, like, personal stuff and when it deals to family, it's a big issue. This is Major Taps, by the way. I have to put out there and let you know that Mama Taps right now is sitting downtown in the county over a fake assault report that was given to Cleveland police back in June. Mind you,
dog, the person who has did this, who has done this, and, like, I don't have no problem putting family on blast. Like, I don't usually go off my boundaries as far as with, you know what I'm saying, belittling family or going out or addressing personal issues, because that's family. I keep that sacred, and I keep that at, like, I keep them protected in certain situations. So, but as a person that is, like, officially, I don't accept as a family member, I can go out, I can basically say and expose that, you know, expose that,
right.
and just, like, you know, I can put it out there, basically. My mother has a very high jealous sister, an older sister, that after my grandmother passed, just for no, you know what I'm saying, reason, just start lashing out at my mother, you know, trying to accuse my mother of following her, showing up to her house, bashing windows, doing all this type of outrageous type of stuff, insulting her, things of that nature. She even put her daughters up, you know what I'm saying, to even plot on my mother, you know. For example, my mother just went through a court situation where this so-called sister of hers went and accused my mother of assault on one of my recent aunties' deathbeds. My mother went up there to see her sister off while she was on her deathbed, and she had her daughter recording the whole time while my mother was up there visiting. You know, seeing my late auntie off up there at Cleveland Clinic. And Monty put a stunt where, you know, since she claimed that my mother tried to assault her when she brushed past her. My auntie had put her behind all of my mother and stuff. And it was a situation where they got to, you know what I'm saying, a scuffle. And then, like, she starts, oh, you did this, you did that, you did this, whoop-a-whoop, you know. And the whole time, it was her daughter was recording it. So basically, it was a plot. It was a setup on my mother. Basically, that video was shown in court. The judge seen through all the nonsense, and plus the evidence, things of that nature, and stuff. Plus the people who came forward, you know, and said that it was, you know, say a bunch of lies and stuff. Basically,
well, that's good. That's good.
The judge ruled in my mother's favor. Though, mind you, this though, my mother is sitting downtown right now. Because of a situation where my aunt went and did the same thing, filed a fake police report, because she went and filed a police report down at the hospital to those police, where they went and took it downtown, and my mother had to go through a situation with that, the court situation, and basically beat it. Now, this situation occurred before the situation that happened with the recent court situation where my mother just beat. You know, and prior to that, this happened in June. She went, my mother's wicked sister went and filed a police report back in June, saying that my mother assaulted her in Cleveland. And the reason why she, it gets deeper than this, Brother Al. It gets deeper than this, Brother Al. It gets deeper than this. The reason why she went and filed in Cleveland is because Maple Heights police won't accept none of her reports no more because she went, caught her, so trying to file on my mother in Maple Heights. Mind you, Garfield handles, like, the main court situations over there when it deals to Maple. So the case got taken over to over to Garfield. Nicastro, with her old crooked ass, pardon my language, with her old crooked self, her, my mother has, like, history and stuff over some nonsense that she knows that Castle knew she was wrong about, though. Like I said, my mother, though, when you deal with something serious like this, you got to let a jury. Because a judge, you know what I'm saying, especially if they're not a professional judge, you know, they can just be like, they can just sweep it in the rug. They're just to make their money and stuff, you know what I'm saying, especially if they don't like you, target you in a situation. You know, this judge, Carr still trying to find my mother guilty sentenced her to what, like, what was, like, 30 days? What, 30? It was, like, yeah, she did, like, 30, I think 30, not, like, no, she did 30 days. She did 30 days over a petty assault charge that my mother did not commit, you know? The judge overlooking evidence and stuff, though, it got turned back around, though, because that judge found out that she was at, like, it got turned back around after the evidence that wasn't provided, you know, was put out, when, you know what I'm saying, we went and we took it downtown, you know,
okay.
The judge downtown that was professional, you know, matter of fact, the castle, you need to retire, it's a wrap for you. You know what I'm saying? If you still linking on all this old, you need to retire. You just sit down. No, Golden Girl, sit down. Facts, though. RIP to Betty White. So you,
yeah.
Captain, sit down. Look, it was the court case was taken downtown, and
okay,
once all the evidence was provided and seen the lies that, you know what I'm saying, my mother's sister had got her daughters to sit up there and lie about. She even got one of her adopted sons to lie up there on the witness stand on my mother in Garfield, you know, when that case was going on. Long story short, that case, you know, the judge downtown seen the nonsense and stuff and acquitted my mother of that. She was found not guilty of that charge and stuff. Then right after that, you know what I'm saying, my mother's sister turned around and filed another fake police report in Cleveland, because Maple said they don't want to take their reports no more, because like all the evidence, like basically she was caught in a lie from what her daughters had lied about, you know, saying all this type of. I can pull the reports up. I can come back on next week and pull the reports up. It's so much. You know what I'm saying?
I need you to come back
like
on next week though, and give us the good news when she's released. But go ahead, I'll let you finish.
Right now, though, I got to get my mother out. She's downtown. I got to get my mother out.
Yes,
she's downtown. You know, she had to sit in there doing MLK Day. She got arrested. They came and picked up a 60-year-old woman at 3 a.m. from my house, you know, at 3 a.m. I'm like, who is this, you know what I'm saying, with flashlights, you know what I'm saying, in my backyard and stuff. Well, I'm like, y'all got no one. Like, ain't nothing going on around here, so where's y'all at my dofo? You know?
Right.
Talk to my moms and stuff. Go ahead and see what's going on. You know, she had a warrant. Okay. Keep it cool. What, you know what I'm saying? As soon as I heard about a warrant and assault, I already knew who it was. It's my mother's sister.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's been a robbery. It's been a sibling robbery. I'm not saying, you know what I'm saying? My mother has never been aggressive. My mother gave this woman a car. Her daughter's a car, like, car, like literally gave her a car and stuff. And this is the baby sister. My mother's the baby sister compared to the older sister and stuff. You know, so who's supposed
that's
to set
sad.
An example? You know,
thank you.
She's an ignorant, wicked witch that's jealous of my mother. And then after the fact, when my grandmother passed and stuff, because she put her hands on my grandmother. You know, she put her hands on my grandmother, and my mother checked her for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
It's deep.
That's
you know, so she had an issue since then. She was embarrassed about how my, you know what I'm saying, about like you're not gonna put your hands on my mom. You know what I'm saying? That's your mother too. At the same time. While my grandmother was sick with cancer, you know.
Yeah.
So it's a lot. It's a lot to this story, and I don't got no problem with it because, like I said, me myself, I just own her. You know what I'm saying? Then at the same time, you got my mama locked up. You got mama Taps locked up. You know. Facts.
I'm going to definitely facts. Keep your mom, your entire family. In prayer, and before I go.
No, I mean, it's propriety ENC, but we ain't talking about no Rise of Taps album, none of that, you know what I'm saying, right now.
I know that.
If y'all like
what
it, go
about?
Check it out. But we talking about Mama Deuce right now. Mama Deuce downtown right now, and it's because of a corrupt sister of hers and stuff right now. My mama could catch COVID or anything down there. You know, she just beat breast cancer. You know, and she did. It was a lot. My father just passed recently and stuff.
Yeah.
I just, you know what I'm saying? I don't even got my father's ashes yet, you know?
Right.
And then she want to, you know, it's, I mean, even though it happened in June, I understand the logic of it, though. Don't get it twisted. I understand the logic, so I can't really just bend off like that, though. But, like, this happened in June, so So, like, by the end of the day, though, the
July,
evidence
August,
is right
September,
there
October,
in the
November.
Person's
yeah.
face, though. It's right there in the person's face. All right, man.
Keep
it's
posted,
a lot to this.
Brother.
I don't want to, I
please.
I know a lot of you want to get on here and talk. So, because it's getting close to that time. So, all right, man. Shout out to everybody. Love everybody. You know what I'm saying? Everybody that's cool. Keep it, you know what I'm saying? Keep it positive and stuff like that. Shout out to one love. All right. Make it time.
Peace. And, hey, no problem. My last thing is he goes back on hold before I take this phone call. The wrong spirit, Satan, is the one thing that Satan uses to sometimes get the closest to you is your family, your loved ones, your friends. The wrong spirit will be involved because we expect attacks from outside the home. We expect attacks from strangers, but we never expect it to come from some of our own. That's why we have to be hunkered down in prayer or at least spirit and that energy around us because people can come through and the ones you don't expect will mess you up. I'm going to go to the 216, okay, 424, 216-424, and see what's on your mind. 216-424, how are you doing?
Yeah, house. So, how's it going, man?
It is going well on this Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. National
yeah.
birthday. Actual birthday was on Saturday, but you sound like you are in an excellent mood. As a matter of fact, man, I watched you move up the charts for the simple
oh,
fact you have about four hot tracks in a row. You just released one. Talk to me about what's going on. Why'd you call in this evening?
Well, I called in, and before I even get started, when it comes to Mr. Taps, I am praying for his mother to be released. That's number one. I met her. I do want to speak on that. I met her at one of the Major Taps events at the Black on Black Crime Party Center. And she is a wonderful, beautiful spirit woman. So I hope everything worked out for that. So before I get started talking about this music stuff and shows and all that, I just want to pay respect because Major Taps do a lot for the community and his mother do too as well. So I just wanted to just say that real quick. But other than that, yes, the songs, yeah, I've been dropping. Some things been going on to where I'm just at a great point in my life, somewhat in the mental mind. And my mental mind is letting me know just stay persistent. Keep going. I'm working on an album. And so I'm doing all these songs to see what would people like from me. For the last past 7 years or probably even longer, I don't know, my music was damn near the same, like, you know, but it was great music, and it still is great music. It was conscious music, which I love it, you know, and which in the future I'll be making more conscious songs. I hope I didn't lose any fans, but if I did, it's okay, because I'm gaining new fans. And people that's probably going to spend some money with me and help me with opportunities that was not happening, not to put down my fans that was current. And I hope I still have them. But I just want to make it clear for whoever listening or if they listen to this show in the future, Joseph Motley Jr. is an artist, okay? I am an artist. When you see Denzel Washington, and I think I said this on the show before, when Denzel Washington play in a movie and he's a crooked cop, we applaud him. So my new music, I say all that to let you know about my new music. My new music to some people is like, what happened to the conscious music? What happened to this? What happened to that? Well, nothing happened to the conscious music. What I'm doing now is I'm showing myself I am an artist, and I'm showing other people that hey, I can rap with the best of them, you know. Also, rest in peace to Young Dolph. We have a show coming up March the 11th. All right. Now, this show is going to be a great show. $10 is to get in the show, and the other $10, because it's a $20 fee, the other $10 is on your meal. Only 50 people can come to this show. Yeah. So we also doing that because of COVID as well. And people need to know, you know, come with your mask, because I don't think COVID will be gone by then. But
right,
I know
right,
people
right.
want to get out and about. So, yeah, that'll be March the 11th from 8 to 12 midnight at the Party Center out in Bedford Heights off Rockside Road. A nice
Mediterranean.
Night.
Okay. Okay.
Yes. The chandelier there. Nice space. You know, we want some line dancing going on. We also will have performers that will be performing in that little time. And we also going to give an award to Mr. Earn Smith, councilman in East Cleveland, and been putting in work for years, like Mr. Porter, like Art McCoy, like so many people I know. And so he will be there, and we will give him an award. So only 50 people can come. By the end of the week, I will have the tickets. So the only way you can get in there, you will have to purchase a ticket. This is a business. I thank all my fans for being my fans for all these years, because look at Black House Sound now. Look at us now. We're doing business moves. It's not all that, but it's all that to us. So if you supporters, like I know some of you people that call in are, if that's something that you want to be at, you can always get in touch with Mr. Porter. And by next week, I will have better information as far as a phone number, a list. And if you want to purchase a ticket, you will be able to contact me or Mr. Porter. And we have flyers on the way. But a lot of our flyers will be on social media, just to let y'all know. But we will have some flyers because, like I say, only 50 people can come. So I don't want 300 people to show up because only 50 coming in.
Right.
And that's why
you.
I'm trying to keep this low-key. But at the same time, we want to get the ones that have been supporting Black House Sound for all these years, the opportunity to be able to purchase that, a ticket, you know. But once they run out, that's it. I can't do nothing, you know. Hopefully you will meet us in Cleveland State. That's our future show coming up, and hopefully it won't be no number stipulation on that. Other than that, I thank everybody for listening to Black House Sound. I'm proud that my music is moving. If I'm offending you with the cussing and my songs, I am so sorry, but the same way Denzel Washington got to get paid, Lauren Fishburne, whoever, the same way the guy running Amazon, he had to go off a plan and he went off of it. Now that same man can go outer space in jets, but if he would have listened to people and they would have told the guy that run Amazon, if they would have told him that if you quit your day job, you're going to be homeless, which some people kind of like leaned that way with him. And if he really would have believed it, he never would have started that bookstore online, as in the internet. He never would have did that. And right now, he wouldn't be the man that he is now. So I'm not putting down no human being. I don't care what type of music you make. I don't care which walk of life that you walk. I can't judge you. Only God can. Once again, free Major Taps, mother, and God bless America. Black House Sound is the shit. We the truth. Peace.
Peace. I thank you very much. When it comes down to it, I would like to say that I reserved my thoughts for once everything ended, and I did appreciate the fact that Major Taps' mother had done a lot. Even made food for the hip-hop workshop. She thought a lot of my mom, Mother Porter. Mother Porter thought a lot of her. So we're definitely keeping that entire family in our prayers. As things come up, feel free to join us at different activities. And as the show comes up on replay, please feel free to circulate it. You heard about a major event coming up. You heard about a judge who is definitely not traditional. And you also heard a heartfelt plea from our very own Major Taps proprietor, ENT. That brother, as I leave off of this microphone, if nothing else, no other artist in the United States has made a rap other artist. So that lets you know how unique our region is. Peace.